We had our video ministry put that together for us. You saw a couple of our members in there, didn't you? All right, our title of our message tonight is Wanted Godly Fathers. If you have your Bibles, please turn them over to Genesis 22. We're going to be reading from verses 1 to 19. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early in the morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw to his servants and said to his and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went on together. Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the fathers once again. We thank you for providing us this building. Thank you for your sovereign hand bringing us here safe and sound. We ask now, Lord God, for your Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds as you speak to each and every one of us. Remove our pride, Lord God, in order for us to hear you. Let your Holy Spirit remove anything that is bothering us or will be preventing us from hearing your message to us. Forgive us, Lord, for all of our sins. Let nothing, Lord God, about us and our sinful ways prevent us from being blessed by you today. Guide us, Father, and Lord, anoint me as you speak to your people. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. Wanted godly fathers. We have 2 points tonight. Why there is a need for them and what a godly father is like. So the first point is why there is a need for them. Why is there a need for godly fathers? Because the world is evil. Fathers, that's your first responsibility. The world is evil. We are there to protect our families. The people that God has brought upon us, we are there to protect them from the evil of this world. We are there to guide them, to point out what the evils are. Everything that the Bible says that is good, the world says it is evil. No, everything that is, yeah. And then everything that the world says is good, the world says it's evil. Or everything that the world says is good, what our God says, it is evil. Which is what is written down in Isaiah 5:20. Oh, it's there. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Just the concept of what a woman is now. The question of what is a woman, you can never get a straight answer. Now, I thought removing Pluto as a planet was mind-boggling for me, because forever, when I was until in high school, it was the ninth planet. But now we can't seem to answer the question of what is a woman. It has become politicized, more importantly, and then it has been whatever the beautiful creation that God has created, the world has attacked, and the enemy has destroyed. You can't get a straight answer. Anybody that who identifies as a woman now is a woman. It's not biological now. God created man and woman. That's what the Bible says, and I stand by that. But the world says otherwise. Everything that our faith holds dearly, the world attacks. They took the rainbow that is a sign of God's promise for us that He will no longer destroy the world, earth, with water, and they used it as a sign of pride. And what does the Bible say about pride? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's different now. Fathers are first. Why is there a need for a godly father? Because your children, our families will constantly be attacked. The next generation will always be attacked with lies. And we need to stand firm in our faith. Now, here's some sad statistics. When I give these statistics, it's not really pleasurable in a happy moment, because it's shocking, if anything. Let's go to the stats. Children living without a father is the second most common living arrangement in the U.S., which has doubled since 1968. And in 2021, 60% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. Almost three quarters of American children living in fatherless families will experience poverty before age 11, compared to just 20% of children raised by two parents. A 1987 study found that 60% of rapists were raised in fatherless homes. 73% of fatherless children say their school grades are worse than others in their class. Having a quote-unquote social father, one not related to the child biologically, in their home increases a child's risk of abuse and neglect. Now, let's go to the next slide. In Ephesians 6, 11, 12 reads, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms." Now, godly fathers, in this building right now, we are living in an evil world. The world is after us and our children. We have a huge responsibility. Now, being a father is great. It's God's blessing to us. All children are from God. That's what the Bible says. Amen? But being a godly father, we have much to do with that. We have a great responsibility to be godly. We are just, of course, by title, you're a father. By genetics, because you donated that, and hence your carbon copy child, right? But the godly form, the godly manner, the godly heart must be done by you. Now again, another statistics here from fatherhood.org. The father absence crisis in America, 18.4 million children, one in four without a biological step or adoptive father at home. Research shows that when a child is raised in a father absent home, they are affected in the following ways. 4 times greater risk of poverty, more likely to have behavioral problems, 2 times greater risk of infant mortality, more likely to go to prison, more likely to commit crime, 7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen, more likely to face abuse and neglect, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, 2 times more likely to drop out of school. Sad statistics, but it's the truth. So there is a great need for godly fathers. Amen? Now, if you're listening here and you're not married yet, you're a single guy, you're going to be a father. So this is a good message for you to really receive. If you're a single mom or a single lady right now, these are the traits that you probably want to look for in the person, or the guy that you're interested with. And if you're a single parent, you have the toughest job ever. You're the father and the mother at the same time. So this is one of the aspects that you're actually tackling. Again, the world is evil. That's why there's a great need for godly fathers. We battle against the rulers of this world. And the rulers of this world is working for the enemy. Make no mistake about it. They are pushing the agenda of the enemy. That's why abortion is so much easier than to get your teeth pulled. They will pay for your abortion, but not your root canal. Isn't that crazy? It's easier to get a business loan for a CBD place, and all the commercial places will welcome you if you're a dispensary. But if you're a church, it's so difficult for you to get a loan, and most of the landlords don't want to rent out to you because you're too loud. We have this. This is one exterior or physical manifestation of why fathers are godly fathers are needed. This is a news clip. Let's go ahead and play that, please.
When the SOS went up at a troubled school, who answered the call? A bunch of DADs. Here's CBS's Steve Hartman on the road.
Not many good news stories begin in such a bad news way. It happened last month here at Southwood High School in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Plagued with violence.
Over the course of 3 days,
another fight.
23 students arrested for fighting.
Massive police response.
But strangely, there hasn't been another incident since. Perhaps in part because of this most unusual crisis intervention team.
Nobody here has a degree in school counseling. No majors in criminal justice.
No.
Your qualifications are?
Dad. We're dads.
We decided the best people who can take care of our kids are who? For us.
So Michael Lafitte started Dads on Duty.
We're out doing what we do for our babies.
A group of about 40 Southwood dads who now hang out at the school in shifts.
Let's go.
Today, any negative energy that enters the building has to run a gauntlet of good parenting.
What's going on, buddy?
You moving fast. I like that horse.
I immediately felt a form of safety.
We stopped fighting, people started going to class.
How could that be?
You ever heard of a look?
A look? Dads it's have just the power to do that?
Yes. Not many people know it, but yes.
Let's go.
But it's not just the firm stares and stern warnings.
Let's make it to class, my son.
It's also the dad jokes.
They just make funny jokes like, oh, hey, your suit is untied, but it's really not untied.
And they hate it. They're so embarrassed by it.
And it's that perfect mix of tough love and gentle ribbing that dads do so well that has helped transform this school.
The school has really just been, like, happy, and you can feel it.
Which is why the dads plan to keep coming to Southwood indefinitely.
Because not everybody has
the father figure,
at home.
Mm-hmm. Or a male period in their life.
Like so that. Just to be here makes a big difference.
Do you think you stumbled onto something here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Have a good morning.
They'd like to start chapters of Dads on Duty throughout Louisiana.
What's up, baby boy?
And hope to eventually take on the country.
All right.
Without a fight. Steve Hartman, On the Road, in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Godly fathers are needed. People tend to be more violent when the dad's not around. Children tend to be more careless when the dad's not around. Children seem to undermine authority when there's not a strong male presence in their lives. But godly fathers are greatly needed. Why? Next verse. 1 Peter 5:8 reads, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Is the enemy out there to help you? If you say yes, that's the first failure right there, because he's the father of lies. If you bought into anything that the devil has been teaching, this the doctrine of Satan there, to follow your heart. The Bible says don't do that. That's the worst thing for you to do. Because out of the heart comes adultery, murder. He's the father of lies. He's good with his lies. But the one thing about Satan too is he is looking. He's looking for someone to devour. Now Christians, us, we tend to be stronger when we're together. Amen? It is not by accident that God has called us his sheep. Because if sheep are together, the wolf or the predator does not attack. Because there's many. But the one that is lost or by himself is the one that gets devoured. So there's a great need for church. There's a great need for godly fathers. The enemy is out there to get you. Now, here's an illustration that I stumbled into the social media. I've been immersing myself in the social media so that I can be up to date with the younger people. Because I can't go out anymore and actually learn outside. So I'm just trying to learn what's trending. Okay. So there's this illustration that I found very, as I was trying to prepare for this message. It says, convicted child molester Jack Reynolds in an interview was asked, this was the question for him, was there any form of characteristic in the children that you look for before molesting them? The interviewer asked. He answered, I look more on their families. If I thought the father was a threat, I will not approach the child. So fathers, there you go. Godly fathers. The enemy, the devil, attacks the father first. This is why if you look at the culture, all the fathers are being made fun of, right? The fathers are dumb, are lazy, right? The recipient, the butt of the jokes. They are not leaders. They are the couch potato, lazy guy that always has a bottle of beer on their right hand, watching TV, not productive. That's how the world portrays what a father is. But see, Christians, we need to be godly fathers. Godly fathers are the ones that are serving God, the ones that are connected with God, the ones that are in love with God. To our next point, what a godly father looks like. Now, I kept repeating it earlier. Now, I have a question. Are we aware that we have an enemy? Christians, are you now aware that you have an enemy? The answer is yes. We have an enemy. Now, a godly father does have an enemy. We have the enemy of the world, and we have the enemy with a capital E. What a godly father does is to first protect his children and his family from the enemy and his lies. He does this by standing his ground, by making unpopular decisions, all based on the Word of God and is backed by example. What's one unpopular decision nowadays? Going to church. Praying. Reading your Word. Obeying God. What a godly father looks like? This is in Genesis 22, 1-3. I read it earlier. Look at that one. God tested Abraham. Take your son. And then look at verse 3. Early the next morning. No procrastination. The son that God promised Abraham that he waited for 25 years. God then said, go sacrifice your son to me. Did he go to the prayer meeting and say, I don't know, I think I got a message from God, I need to clear it? No, he says here for us, early the next morning. So the first point is, what a godly father looks like is someone who spends time with the Lord in prayer and in reading God's word. Just like Abraham, he has this intimate relationship with God. He can hear from God and he speaks to God, and God's message is clear to him. How can we lead our children if we don't know what God has for us to say to them? How we are to guide them in this world in the will of God? Like we established it, right? I don't think I need to convince you that everything that the world says there and teaches our children there is all against God's will. So how are we to combat that? Through the Word of God. How are you supposed to teach that if you are not immersed in it? If you don't know what to teach because you are not learning yourself and you're not praying. Somebody who's clearly in tune with God, that person will not doubt that once God speaks to that person, that conviction will grip his heart and he will know, this is what God wants me to do. I know this is difficult, like buying a building with no money in the funds, right? This is what God wants us to do. This is what we're going to do. We're going to lead. We're going to lead basing it on what God has told us. Now, question to the dads here and for the future fathers here, how much do you spend time with the Lord? How much in your day do you spend time with the Lord in your prayer? How much in your day do you spend time with the Lord in your reading of His Word? Now, I can make you realize by the use of your iPhones, by looking at your screen time, on how much you spend on a daily basis on your cell phones, because it's programmed there, right? Now, out of that 7 hours a day and some change, how much of that time did you spend with God? Now, there is that saying, more is caught than taught, right? Did you hear about the little boy who was playing on a Sunday morning while his dad was in a lounge chair reading the paper? And the father said, son, get yourself ready for Sunday school. The little boy asked, are you coming with me today, dad? The man replied, no, I'm not coming, but I want you to hurry up and get ready. The little boy then said, did you used to go to Sunday school when you were a boy, dad? He said, I most certainly did. As he walked away from the boy, mumbled, yeah. The boy mumbled, yeah, and I bet it won't do me any good either. Secondly, what a godly father is, second point is, obedient. Obedient to who? To the wife? Yeah, yes, no. Obedient to God, right? It just makes sense that the one who spends time with God in his prayer and then hears from God a clear command will be obedient to whatever it is God has said. Because the guy heard it. You heard God. You asked him, you spoke to him, and he told you. And then what are you supposed to do? I don't know. Lord, did you mean Ishmael? Because I just let him go. He didn't really mean Isaac, right? I mean, this is the kid that I've been praying for and waited for 25 years. He's the one I'm going to sacrifice? No discussion whatsoever. Early in the morning, a godly father like our Father Abraham, right? Obedient. No procrastination, and then no more praying needed, right? When I ask you, you want to give your testimony? Because you prayed, right? You prayed like, Pastor, can you help me? You know, I'm praying for this. And we prayed, and God answered your prayer. And I said, praise God, you want to give your testimony? And then you say, let me pray about it. What do you mean? You already prayed about it. God already answered it. Testimony is just saying, you know, I was here last Wednesday, and I was really troubled, and I asked Pastor Joe and the group to pray with me, and God answered my prayer the next day. That's the testimony. What's the praying needed for? No, but seriously, when God has responded to your need, your responsibility, church, is to give him the glory he deserves. Amen? That is why it hurts. That is why it's heartbreaking when you don't give your testimony. Because I truly know that you needed that prayer and God responded to that prayer and you cried and I cried with you and we prayed together and God responded to your need. But you tell me, let me pray about it. Doesn't God deserve our testimony? No, I guess not. He doesn't, huh? He doesn't deserve our praise and our glory to glorify him. God is good. He always hears my prayers. The many times that I have given him my request for restoration of my health, restoration of my broken relationship, helping my child, helping me financially, seeing me out of this trouble, God responds every day, day in and day out, prayer in and prayer out. A godly father is obedient, no more doubting. And then, not just his obedience, he didn't delay. Obedience, there's no delay, right? Early the next morning, and then doing everything that God said. What was it? When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him. Imagine that. Clear, no delay, obedient to the detail, and then went. The world says, next slide please, do what I say, not what I do. Right? That's the word says, right? Don't do what I do, but do what I say. The Bible says, next slide please, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Training is a verb. The word training is a verb. Now, it is defined as to teach a person or an animal a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. So godly fathers, we are compelled by God, commanded by God, to train up our children on the way they should go, basing it on the Word of God. When I was trying to, there was one time that I was speaking to Alonzo. And Alonzo was so fired up with the Lord. You know, I think he was 7 or 8. And he said, "Dad, I want to be a missionary." And I'm like, "Yeah, Zoe, be a missionary. And I'm going to be, and then after I get back, I'll be a pastor, Dad." I go, "Yeah, Zoe, be a pastor. Be a missionary and a pastor." And someone said, gave their opinion at that same conversation, "No, Zoe, first become a millionaire, and then you can support the missionaries, and then maybe you can also support the pastors. And then maybe once you're a millionaire and successful in life, be a pastor." Confusing, right? Two different opinions. Now what is a child to do now? That's what your children, our children, always face. They come to church. They hear from you at home. You teach them the right ways of God. And they go out there and someone else is whispering. Something else is being whispered. Maybe not whispered. Very loud. There are more than two genders. You don't have to honor your parents. You don't have to live for God. Live for you. Please yourself. Right? So as a godly father, we know that these are the things our children battle with. As much as we are trying to train them. Now, it's not a one-time thing, isn't it? It's not an overnight thing. It's a day in and day out. Now, godly fathers, we are to show that. Not just saying it, they have to see it in our lives as well. Amen? Now, A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Crucified Life, wrote, there's two quotes about obedience. He says, "True obedience is the refusal to compromise in any regard our relationship with God, regardless of the consequences." Next is, "Obedience is recognizing God's sovereignty and authority and submitting to it without question and without regard to consequence." Obedience to God will always cost us something. God called Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. At that moment, we know the end of the story because we read it. But Abraham didn't. Although some commentators were saying, when he told his servants, "And we will come back to you," Abraham, they said, had the notion. But I would argue otherwise because he lifted up the knife. When God will ask us to do something, it's typically difficult. So godly fathers, when we're obedient to God, we know that it's not easy. And it's never easy to fight for our children. It's never easy to fight against our children. It's never easy to stand for God in a very unpopular manner because the world is against you. It's 99 versus 1. It's like a Korean movie. You know, I'm finding out that these Korean movies, they like mismatch things, you know. There's 2 versus 30 people. And the other guys have baseball bats and these guys are just boxers. You know, they love it. It's like always unfair. But it's the same thing as God. Gideon with 300 versus 145 Midianites. Never easy. Disciples, 11 of them. And then they became 300. I know, 120. And then 3,000 against the entire country, Rome. Moses versus Pharaoh. Obedience is never easy. Amen? Now, last but not the least, What we see in Abraham's example to us, his example to us on how we can be godly fathers, is his reverent fear of God. Next slide, please. In verse 12, it says, "And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." That's the most amazing line there. It's not actually the rescuing of Isaac, but it's actually God's adoration to Abraham's obedience to him. Wouldn't you want that? But God will say, yeah, it's good. Now I know that you fear me. Don't you want that? The holy God's adoration of your obedience in your life? Now, how did God prove his love for us? How did God prove his love for us? We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." But godly fathers, for the message tonight and the topic tonight, to become godly fathers, is 1 John 3:16. It reads, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. I have one more video to show a manifestation in our lives right now, in our time right now, of a father's love for his son. Let's play it, please.
Drama at the rodeo as a cowboy is thrown off a bull right out of the gate. Now watch as wranglers try to divert the bucking beast. A man jumps into the arena and throws his body onto the unconscious cowboy. The bull lowers his horns and charges. But that's not just any spectator. It's the bull rider's father. 18-year-old Cody Hooks shared the video writing, "Big thanks to my dad. Could have been a hell of a lot worse." And here are father and son today.
He covered my head up and, you know, kept my head from any more injuries.
Did your dad save your life?
Yes, ma'am, he did.
Now his dad is being called Father of the Year.
What do you think about all of this attention?
I would do anything to save any of my children. It wouldn't matter what it is.
Now I'm a sucker for dramatic things, you know. When I used to be with Noymel in our unsanctioned security ministry, this was the peak of people coming in church buildings and shooting at people, you know. And I was telling Noymel, I go, "Dude, if there's somebody that comes in here, I'll jump him, okay?" And Nick's like, "Who cares?" But I'm like always in for the dramatic, you know. There's like, I hear some news of a soldier jumping to rescue his squad, jumping in the grenade so that the others won't get hurt. And then I saw this 2 days ago, a father just jumping into the rescue, you know, for his son, who he probably told, "Don't do bull riding." And then he said, "No, I got this, Daddy. I got this." Fathers, we face a great challenge in life because we are all given a responsibility to protect our loved ones, people that are dear to us. No matter how big they get or how smart they become, they are forever our children. The challenge is that the world out there will constantly try to get them to believe the enemy rather than God. And the challenge is, how are we to fight that spiritual battle that becomes a physical battle? How are we to fight that if we are not connected with our Lord? We must always remember, in Psalm 103:13, it reads, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who hear him." God, our Father in heaven, ultimately loves us and our children. And if we will just constantly immerse ourselves, get down on our knees, fight these battles on our knees, most of the time, that's how you're going to fight these battles. When your children are buying into the lie of the enemy out there, pray. Get down on your knees and beg God for discernment for your child, for wisdom for you, to know what to say and what not to say. Ask God for help to rescue them from that spiritual lie. Because God can do it. Amen? That is our message tonight. As the music team make their way up here, if you have any decisions you want to make this evening, if you want to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, please come up so we can lead you into that prayer. In the balcony, you will go to Deacon John, who's up there and down here with me. And if you just need prayer, please come up so we can pray for you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your message. We thank you again for the fathers, Lord God. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon them, Lord. Give them the spiritual strength and the spiritual resolve to obey every command that you have given them. I pray for their hearts, Lord God. Remove the stagnancy. Remove the stagnancy that's been blocking them from growing with you. I pray, Father God, that you will just move in their lives so that they will just not say that they believe you, but they will actually live for you. Father, bless all the families that are here and guide us, Lord God. Protect us from the enemy. Give us all wisdom and help us, Lord God, live for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the Lord's people said, amen.